we read these verses. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This morning, you may have come here, you may not have a physical illness. Perhaps there's a spiritual illness, a soul that is sick with sin. There's good news for you this morning, because Jesus can heal that. He can heal that heart that has the heavy burden of sin. I'd like to share a song called He Touched Me. Nice to be out to remember the Lord and to think about His Word and all those things. We've been in Canada all week, and if I'd known Alex was going to be here today, I might have stayed in Canada. I could have called Brother Howard down, and if Alex had known I was going to be here, he could have gone home to Colorado early. Think how those things go. But it's nice to be with you, and that's an honest statement. I've said many times I wish I'd go someplace just once where the visiting speaker would say, I'm sorry I came. I'd like to hear it just once. But I'm not the fellow that's going to say it, so I'm thankful to be with you on this Lord's Day. The Lord is so good to us and enriches our lives in so many ways. I want to read in Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read the last four verses. This section of Isaiah is a powerful section. I'm not going to be in it very far or very deep, but in reading through the book of Isaiah one day a couple weeks ago, a number of things came fresh to me or jumped back in my head, you might say. And at the end of Isaiah 40, there's a very happy section that just says a lot to us about God and His goodness and love. The text begins at verse 28 of Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As I said a couple of moments ago, I took one day, I couldn't tell you when, but sometimes we've been in conferences much of the summer, and once in a while you run out of things to do. You've preached all day, and just so I took an occasion to read the book of Isaiah again, just in a kind of a happy way. And reading through, I said to myself when I got these passages, I said, the Lord has blessed us in lots of ways, and one of those is that He gives us the strength to live day by day. And sometimes we don't recognize it, but He gives us the strength to live day by day. And that's a great thing, because you hardly know what one day will mean or what another day will do. And I've thought about that for a little bit, that I said to myself, there are lots of other really good things He gives us, we know that. But there are some things which are intensely practical things, and the strength for the day is one of those things. So I thought in these two Sundays that I'm here at Berkeley Heights, I would talk to you about some of the practical gifts of God. This is the first of them. I'm not saying that anything God gives is impractical, but when I use the word practical, I mean something that works for you right at the time and right at the circumstance. When I was a very young boy, I learned a lot about the kind of gifts that people give you that are practical and impractical. Here I am on a farm in western Pennsylvania. It's Christmas when people bring gifts to children. My folks did not have a lot of things, but we were happy, see, and all that sort of thing. But we had lots of relatives that used to come out on Christmas to bring us things, and also to load up their cars with produce that we had left over to take back with them to the city. It was always questionable in my mind why they really came, but they did it just the same, and when they're relatives, you have to be good to them whether you want to or not. They would come out, though, at Christmas, and they would bring a gift for the kids. If any relative came out and didn't bring a gift for the kids, especially during the war, you knew he wasn't going to be taking any lard home with him. You kind of knew that in advance. So off they would come, and here would be the presents. I remember that the presents that we got from our parents were largely things that you could use right away, like a new pair of socks. I said it's a terrible gift for a boy at Christmas. They'll buy you socks for the rest of the year anyway. They won't let you run barefooted more than a week or two in the snow and the ice. But whatever they... Here the folks come out from Pittsburgh and handed me a lovely wrapped present, and I unwrapped it carefully, and it was three handkerchiefs. Three handkerchiefs. Three handkerchiefs for a boy raised on a farm where no handkerchief was ever necessary at all. And if I have to explain that to you, and I don't want to do it in the meeting, maybe you could call me on the phone or something like that. I didn't really know what they were. I knew what bandanas were. You tied them around your neck to keep the chaff out of your skin. But a handkerchief, and these were not only just three regular handkerchiefs, these were fancy handkerchiefs. I don't know what happened to them. I had to say, thank you very much. I had to say it in a nice way, in a sincere fashion, and then I took them off the room and put them on a dresser, and I don't know whatever happened to them, but I suspect probably, maybe my father stole them, I don't know, but I don't know what happened to them. But I've looked back out a lot of times, and I said, you give to a boy who's about 8 years old three handkerchiefs for Christmas, it indicates that you know absolutely nothing about gift giving. That's what it does. Now, the Lord never does things like that to us. Every gift that He gives is good and profitable to us, and in the nature of James 1, we ought to thank God for those things that He gives. But some things are more immediately practical, and this is one of them in Isaiah 40. The strength that's necessary to live, and in my mind, the strength for the day, bit by bit. Now, some people have remarkable energy in themselves, I understand that. But all of us, sooner or later, the energy of life and time wears down in one way or another. I was sitting with a couple of fellows at a meeting just up in the conference in Canada just a couple of days ago, and we had this humorous situation. The song leader invited us all to stand up. That's good. I like to stand. I like to stand to pray. I'm a natural stander, but in the last few years I've had bad feet, so I like standing a lot less. But anyhow, he invited us to stand up, and the man standing next to me said, if he knew what bad knees I had, he wouldn't ask me to stand. And I said, if he knew what bad feet I have, he wouldn't ask me to stand. And we mentioned that to a fellow later, and he said, and if he knew what my hips were like, he wouldn't. So we concluded that none of us really had the strength we needed for what it was, and yet we all managed to get up satisfactorily. The Lord gave that to us. Stand back and say, well, the world around us that doesn't know God goes on too. I'm not denying that there are some powerful things because all men are created with certain blessings and powers by God. But for those who know God, to know His love and know His Son and to be brought into His family, the writer says, haven't you heard? God never runs out of strength. God will strengthen you for every day you stand and wait upon Him. That's a great practical gift of God, the strength for the day, the strength for the day. I stopped jogging years ago. He stopped giving me that strength. He said to me, you need to be more sedate. But the strength that's needed for the day is with Him, and that's a powerful truth. That's what I want to look at this morning with you for a few moments, that God in His practicality gives us the strength for today. If you wonder where I'm headed after today, you hate to talk too much about future meetings because you never know. The Lord might come, the world might end, you might collapse. You never know. But tonight I want to talk about the blessing of sleep. Would you believe it? That's a practical blessing. I want to talk about the blessing of sleep. And next Sunday, although I'm not sure whether I'll work morning or evening, you can't make all these things terribly advanced. I want to talk about the trials that God sends into our lives, which are practical blessings too. But I'm not sure if it's morning or evening. It doesn't make any difference now, does it? It's next Sunday anyway. Today, sufficient is the day for the troublesome messages thereof. That isn't quite the way it's said in Matthew 6. That's the way some modern translators understand it. But whatever the case happens to be, thank God for the practical gift. He gives the strength for today. First of all, in the passage, note that God is an unfailing source. Note that. God is an unfailing source. We're not talking about some mystical idol like was read to us earlier this morning in Psalm 115. We're not talking about some self-ideal of yourself. We're talking about the God who created the universe. The God is described as the one who stretched out the heavens, made it all. He's everlasting. He's Lord. He's God. He's personal. He's intimate with you. We're talking about a deity who loved us and sent His Son to be our Savior. And everybody that trusts Jesus Christ is brought into a family relationship with God. Trusting Jesus Christ is not some kind of a dream. It's the confession of your need and a willingness to turn to God and say, I believe that your Son died for me and will give me eternal life. Sometimes we talk about that quickly in the pulpit and people wonder what we're saying. If you wonder what I'm saying and don't know, please feel free to ask me after the service. I love to talk about those things. But deep in our hearts, we look up and we say, Father, I know that I'm not strong enough to live life alone. I know I can't handle things alone. And I know that I'm not right with you. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we're brought into the family of God. The prophet Isaiah isn't talking to a general world, but the world of Israel had honored God. Look, he says, God is an unfailing source. Haven't you heard that? Haven't you heard that this God never faints, is never weary, that there's no end and no full understanding to His power or His strength? Never fails, never wears out. Why, He's better than that rabbit that hops around demonstrating the value of batteries on television. You've no doubt seen him. Haven't seen him? You must not have watched any football games in the last 400 years. But whatever the case is, I said to my wife, I know that rabbit's a phony because I shot him years ago and we ate him in Hassenpfeffer. But whatever the case happens to be, God never faints. Every human being you know runs out of strength and time. Every circumstance in life runs out of strength and time. Perpetual motion is an ideal which has not been realized yet, although I've seen some two-year-olds come close to it. But it's not been realized yet. And even they run down after a while, believe it or not. You just have to be patient for a few years. But the circumstances are like that. But this God never faints, and He's never weary. Sometimes we get terribly tired. We haven't fainted, but we get tired. We run out of steam, run out of the power to encourage people. I was with a group of people who were complaining about a particular thing, and somebody said to me, they said, say something funny, Tom. But I was out of funny things. I was tired, too. I was out of witticisms and clever things. And so I just looked at them, and I said, I'm out of all those things. Then they all laughed. But they just did that feeling my situation. But this God is never weary. When we believe in Jesus Christ and are brought into the family of God, we're brought into the fellowship of a God who is never tired, never out of strength, never done over by the pressures of life. Some of us have great energy, but our energy always comes to a taxing point where you get out. I've said many times to young and old alike, don't make big decisions of life when you're tired. When you're tired, don't make big decisions of life. Go and sleep for a while, refresh yourself so that you can think intelligently, because when we become fatigued, we run out of the ability and the energy to think clearly and to act clearly, and some really stupid decisions are made that way. But the God who created the universe and who gives life to us is never weary, never faint, never tires of those things. What's more, the writer says, there is no end to his understanding. No searching of his understanding in the King James means there's no possibility that you will ever find out all the depth of what he knows and all the depth of what his care is for you. You will never find it out. It's overwhelming. I always, when I was teaching, I'm glad to be retired. You all know that. If not, I'll tell you again, because everybody ought to know what everybody's doing. When I was teaching, I had the door in my office. The principal of the seminary was that if the door was open, you could come in and talk with me. The only time I ever closed the door was once or twice when I wanted to pray and not be interrupted or things. Generally, it was open. I didn't like to make appointments with people because they bind your hand. So I'd say, if the door is open, you can come in and talk. And sometimes somebody would come in and say, do you know what the Phillies did last night? We would have really edifying talks. Sometimes spiritual things to be discussed, you don't know. But there were some people that come in and talk, you'd say, come in and talk with me, and as soon as they came in, you wished you'd had the door shut. You knew you were in for a long day, and paying attention to them for 5 minutes was a chore, and 10 minutes was impossible. And after 15 minutes, they realized you were working on a crossword puzzle, and they were offended for years and years after that. But God is never that way. Never tires of hearing us. Now, I'm telling you in a kind of a semi-serious way, we shouldn't just drivel in God's presence. But he never tires of hearing us. You can say the same thing 100 times. If you need help, you can ask him 1,000 times. I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying you might do it. And no voice from heaven will come down and say, I've heard enough. Now, there are once or twice when we argue with him that God says that in the Scripture. He said it to Moses, and he said it to Paul. When they persisted on a particular point, he said, that's enough, fellows. This is the way we're going to do it. And there may be a point in your life where God says, that's right. That's the way we're going to do it. You're losing your hair. That's all there is to it. We're just going to let it go, and it'll be a lot easier to bury you. You don't need as much. Well, never mind that. Whatever the case happens to be. But he never tires of us in that sense. If we're living in sin and wickedness and defiance, that's another story. But when I, as a simple believer in Jesus, call upon his name, he never says, you had your turn. It's over this week. You can call back next week. It's nothing like that, because this is the eternal God who is a source of strength that is unfailing. And you can see that emphasized in verse 29. He gives power to the faint, and he gives to them that have no might increased strength. No might. He gives to them increased strength. We are not able to do that in life. We try it sometimes. When people are really fainting or difficulty, we try to buoy up their spirits. And by the grace of God, we may be able to do it in some helpful way. But we can't give them anything permanent. But God can. I saw a brother recently out in Erie, Pennsylvania. 3 years ago, I visited him. He had had a ferocious accident to a leg. It looked like he was going to lose it. Then it looked like he might keep it, but it would never do anything, and so forth. I hadn't seen him for a while. But he walked into a meeting where I was in Erie. He was walking well. And after the service, I said, how is your leg? He said, it's wonderful. He said, it's wonderful. He said, God has given me a full healing of this very, very complicated problem and this leg. I can't tell you what it was. I'm not medically inclined. But it grew out of a blood clot, and it destroyed the whole right side of his leg. He was wearing a bandage from his knee to his ankle when I saw him, and there was no flesh there. He said, it's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. He said, God has given it back to me. I said, praise the Lord. He said it was a long siege, but he said every day, he said, the Lord said to me, you can live with this leg or without it. If you trust me, you can live with it. He said, the Lord never said, I'm going to give it back to you. But he said, every day in my heart, I knew that I could live and love God, whether I had that leg or not, he said. And consequently, he said, I was always on top of it. And his wife said, that's right, he was always on top of it. Now, I'm not given that sort of thing. I would have been under it a good while earlier, I think. But what he was saying was that in his weakness, God gave him the strength, not necessarily the strength to jump up and run 5 miles, but the strength to know that God would keep him and hold him and encourage him, and he would always be under the blessing of God's care. That's strength, see. He gives power to those that need strength. He gives to the faint power to live in a powerful, powerful, wonderful sort of way. When I was afraid of a monster that lived in the woods where my grandparents were in Pittsburgh, you know, there are all kinds of monsters in the woods around Pittsburgh. And we lived with them when the depression was on for a little while, and boys in the school told me there was a monster there who dropped rocks out of trees on the head of little boys as they came through. I believed them, of course, like little boys always believe big boys. I told my father about it. My father said, "There's no monster in that woods." What did my father know? But my father took me by the hand, fearful and everything else, and we walked into the woods and sat there until about 2 o'clock in the morning, in the darkest night you could imagine, just sat there. And every now and then he'd say, "Seen any monsters yet?" No, I thought he was one for a while. But the fact of the matter is we didn't see any monsters. And by about 2 o'clock in the morning, we started to call them. My father would say, "Hey, monsters, come here, come here." No monsters. And you know, it's a peculiar thing. But I knew after that there were no monsters in the woods. And when someone just defied them. I said, "There are no monsters in that woods." Oh, God gives to those that are faint the power to live, and he gives increased strength to those that are weak. God is an unfailing source of the help we need for everyday living. The second aspect is that he supplies the strength that's needed. I interpret that out of verse 30. "Now the youth faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall, but he gives power to the faint and might to those that need increased strength." Yes, the youth will faint and be weary. I watched a little boy at the Guelph conference. Every time I got a chance to watch him, I watched him. One of the great things about going to conference and seeing the children of other people is to realize that they're not yours. I love children. Ours are all grown. Next Saturday, our youngest son is being married. Lord willing, it's a week yet. I'm holding my breath. And he's not a little boy. He's 32. So we've been nursing him along for a long time now. And we're about to hand him over, I trust. Happy fellow, pleasant Christian, so, but anyhow, that's the way it goes. But I like to watch the other people's children. And this little boy is a little curly-haired fellow who I assured his parents would keep them young, a lot younger, longer than is normal to be kept young. Just an unbelievable ball of energy. I don't know how old he is, but an unbelievable ball of energy. I said to his mother, "Does he ever wind down?" She said, "Yes." She said, "But we're usually not conscious when it happens." But on the last day of the conference, I said to his father, I said, "I haven't seen Daniel for a couple hours." Believe it or not, he said, "Daniel isn't feeling well today. Even the young men grow weary at any age and circumstance." And maybe you're a young man at 18 and you feel your strength is unbridled. What you need to do is to cut the grass just once. Relieve your aged father or a superannuary grandfather and cut the grass. It's amazing how a lawn to be cut can take the strength of a young man and decimate it altogether. And if that doesn't do it enough for you, try the dishes one time. That's a sure killer along those lines. I'm joking, of course. But what the writer says is no joke. The youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But God will supply power and strength. He gives the strength that is needed. Sometimes we'd like to have a great reservoir. We'd like to have a great buildup, so that we could say, "Well, I know no matter what's going to happen, I can do this, that, and the other thing." God gives grace and strength and faith, I think, in my understanding, as they are needed and can be used by us. Consequently, the strength is given when the requirement is there for it to be. It's not exactly like becoming a great weightlifter. It's like learning to live day by day, trusting God. Not knowing exactly what the particular course of life might be from one moment to the next, but knowing that God will give the strength that's necessary for it. And sometimes the trials that come up in the course of the day can be overwhelming. I've never minimized those things. It's ironic that sometimes preachers who haven't had many trials think that nobody else has had any either. We've all had them, and we will continue to have them. But the strength that is needed is there with God. The fact that I become weary or the fact that I fail has in no sense limited God or taken away from God's power. David stood before Goliath. He knew exactly what to do. The Philistines didn't fight with slings. Do you know that? The sling was an unknown weapon in Philistia as far as we know today. So Goliath saw him and thought the kid had a toy. Mocked him and mocked his God. And David put a smooth stone into the sling. It was not a pebble the size of your thumbnail. Probably weighed 5 or 6 ounces. But that's an arguable point. But it was not. He put it in. He fired it. Hit Goliath in the forehead. And that was... whether it knocked him out or killed him, we don't know. David cut off his head. That finished the job. But whatever the case happens to be, he was given the strength to overcome a man much greater than he was. But there's no indication that David had gone around Jerusalem for weeks before that with muscle-building classes. God gave him the strength that was needed. He'd driven off the bear and he'd driven off the lion. And consequently, we just take a look at that and we say, well, God, I'm trusting you. I'm young or old or middle-aged or wherever I am. I'm trusting you for the strength that I need for the thing that's set before me day by day. As we grow older, sometimes, believe it or not, gang, there are a lot of things we don't need to do anymore. I watched some fellows working hard at Guelph. They were laying a new walk around part of the... Guelph is a Bible conference in Canada. And I watched them, they were laying a new walk around the building. Now, I was speaking morning and evening, so I didn't feel I had to help them with the walk, but I really wanted to help them with the walk. I love to work like that. I like to feel the sun. I never feel any better than when the perspiration is running off me in every direction. The heat of summer is a great time. But I had plenty to do, see, otherwise. But I did go over one day and just carry a few bricks. They were making a brick walk, and I didn't have to, the bricks were there in little five-brick packages, like. Five bricks don't weigh very much. I don't know what they weigh. They don't weigh very much. If you're carrying four or five of them, you begin to say, where are the muscle people? I'm sure I've seen a day when I could have carried bricks all day and hardly have felt it. But about 5 minutes was enough last week. Besides, I had to get the evening message ready. Had a counseling session at 2. Can't wear yourself out carrying bricks. What I'm saying is the fact is that life goes on. We adjust to it. And some people's adjustment comes slower and some comes shockingly fast, but God gives the strength that's needed to adjust and meet the needs of the day as they come bit by bit by bit. I was at a conference not long ago, and I don't know how the circumstances were, but the fellow said to me, he said, we have you listed for 6 messages tomorrow. Is that too many? I had 8 prepared. He said, is that too many? Will that wear you out? I said, no. I said, that won't wear me out. That's not too many. I taught for years and dabbled to the students, endlessly almost. I said, that's not too many. But by the time the day was over, I said, the next time someone says, is 6 too many, I'm going to say, yeah. Could you cut it to 4 or 5 or 5.5? Could you do something? And I don't know what particular things face you in life. All I'll say is that God gives the strength as it's needed. So first of all, God is an unfailing source of strength. That's his practical gift. Just look at the universe and see what he's done. See his might displayed. See his power. And know that there's no end to it. And that he's generous with it as far as we're concerned. He's an unfailing source of strength. And then understand, however, that he gives that strength as it's needed. And against the background of verse 30, 31, understand that we receive it by waiting on him. They that wait upon the Lord, they will receive their strength. They'll renew it. They'll mount up like eagles. Eagles get tired too, you know. They will run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Some believers, I think, have misunderstood that in some way. I visited with a sister a few years ago who had had a nervous breakdown. I had one of those myself years ago. I know a lot about it, and I'm glad it's over. I've said that I've always lived on the edge of it ever since. The edge of it was in 1949. So I've stood at the edge of it for a long time, but it's the edge across when you're across and you're over it. But I understand the problem that. And this sister read me this verse, and she said, why am I fainting? She said, why am I weary? Why am I not, why am I like this? She said, has God failed me? And it's hard to immediately give the right answers to all those things, and you don't want to be crude, but I said, no, I said, I don't think God ever failed anybody. But I said, maybe you haven't put yourself in the position of waiting on him. Do you see it in the text? Waiting doesn't mean like standing on a bus, hoping in a corner, hoping a bus will come along. The term for wait means to stand ready to do his will. To put your hope in him, your trust in him, absolutely, and to stand ready to do his will, whatever it happens to be. And I can't read that in the lives of people. I couldn't judge her life or my life or your life along those lines. I can know a bit of it for myself. But a lot of times I haven't felt the strength that I needed day by day because I wasn't ready to do what God wanted me to do. It doesn't mean that God abandoned me or forgot me. He still ministered to my needs and helped. But rather than taking the strength God had, I was pushing it off. Now, I'm not sure I can illustrate that well for you this morning, or maybe if I worked on it for hours, I'm not sure I could illustrate it well. But I remember doing my income tax one year. I do it every year. I ought to get an accountant, but, there are some things a man needs to do for himself. So that's one of the things I need to do for myself. And the people at the tax office invited me to come in and talk with them about it a few weeks later. It was a happy time. I was scared to death, but I had all my records and all that sort of thing. And when the whole thing was over, they said I should get a larger refund than I'd actually got. See, it worked out well. But I went in, and the lady that went over the things with me pointed out a couple of places where I hadn't added right, and a couple of places where I hadn't subtracted right, and one or two places where I hadn't multiplied right. She didn't realize I was a math phenom, but she had a couple of places like that. And she said, you ought to get some help on these things. I understand that. And that's what I've often said to students. A student would be having trouble with Greek, and I said to him, this is what you ought to do. I can't help him if he won't do it. And very often, God reaches out to supply the strength to us in practical ways, but our minds are set against him, our hearts aren't growing with him. We're defying everything he wants us to be. And in the language of Psalm 81, he can't help us. Even though he's a God of unfailing strength, we defy him and we turn away from all that he wants us to do. So the writer says, those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Those who stand in the presence of God and say, here I am, Lord, I believe in you, I'm trusting Jesus, I'm ready to be an obedient, willing child to be used of you. That's where I am. I'm waiting, Lord, not just waiting and idling and twiddling my thumbs, but I'm waiting, ready for what you want me to be and what you want me to do. Those people will renew their strength. Why? Because they can receive the strength that God gives. Every now and then someone would say, well, as strong as God is, can't he give it to you anyway? God could have made it all robots. He could have made us all robots, but you wouldn't be happy with it. It's like the man who said to me, he said he'd done a stupid thing, and he said, why didn't God stop it? And I said, if God stopped us all from doing stupid things every time we're going to, we'd hardly get through a meal satisfactorily. You can see you're about to shake more salt on your potatoes. I always add salt. I need it to keep my blood pressure up. But you're about to add salt, and suddenly an angelic voice comes from the ceiling and says, Tom Taylor, no more salt. You wouldn't be happy living a life like that, would you? You'd hardly get to work in the morning. That's a yellow light ahead. Stop right now. You could hardly get to work in the morning. And the angel that speaks to us always says, that's a yellow light ahead. Step on it, baby. But you're not. God didn't make us like that. He didn't make us robots. He gave us freedom and individuality to love him and to serve him. Not absolute freedom. Nobody has ever had that yet but God himself. And even God limits his freedom by not lying, see. And the circumstances are such that he's given us areas of responsibilities which are ours. If I'm unwilling to act in those areas of responsibility, I can't really feel his strength. So we're told in Philippians 4 and 8, and we're told how we should pray and not worry. We should pray. If I'm going to sit around and worry even while I pray, it's hard for me to experience the strengthening of God. If I live in doubt all the time of his power, his control, of his will, if I live in doubt of his desire for my life and eternity, it's hard to enjoy the blessings that God gives. And so the writer says, those that wait upon the Lord, they'll renew their strength. We're not looking for a cop-out here. We're looking for an honest thing. And when someone says, I'm ready to do what God wants me to do, I love him, I trust him, I know I'm in his family, I'm ready to do it, they will renew their strength. They'll run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Meaning that in the course of life, they'll not be beaten by the circumstances. It doesn't mean they won't be bruised sometimes. It doesn't mean everything will happen easily, immediately. But it means in the course of life, they'll not be beaten by the circumstances and by the challenges that come before them. Because they're prepared to serve God. And God is giving them the necessary challenge and strength to do it. If you think of the apostle's life, read about it in 2 Corinthians, how he was beaten and abused and tortured. But in all of those circumstances, God gave him the confidence that God was his strength, and he triumphed over all of those things. When I was in the Army in California, it's been a long time ago, and the longer it goes, the harder it is to remember these things right. If you don't understand that now, just wait a few years. Well, anyhow, a group of my colleagues went to see Martha Snell Nicholson. We were at a Bible conference in Oakland, California, and she was living somewhere nearby. I didn't go. She was living somewhere nearby, and she was a godly Christian woman who wrote lots of Christian poetry and a lot of things like that. And some of them went to see her along with some folks from the assembly in Oakland, California. And when they came back, a fellow said to me, he said they'd seen Mrs. Nicholson. He said it was a great blessing. He said she's a godly woman. She composed a couple of poems for them. But she had been an invalid for years, and a painful invalid for years. And the fellow said, but she's lucky, he said, because she has a husband that can just pick her up like a toy and carry her from place to place like there was nothing to it. He said, every woman that's an invalid should have a man like that, somehow it doesn't make up for your own strength, but that's what he says. Then we thank God, you know. Well, I heard about 6 months later that her husband, who was big and strong, and picked her up like a... I never met him, but I heard some months later that he had had a heart attack and been called into the Lord's presence, and she was left without him. And when I was up at Oakland at the conference on Thanksgiving Day the following year, in my uniform, you know, I asked these people how Mrs. Nicholson was. And they said, well, they said she's no different today than when her husband was alive. She said she certainly misses him, but he said she's triumphant because God has given her the strength to testify and go for him. And she said she's discovered that a lot of places he carried her to, she didn't even have to go to. She said she's no different today. Now, since then, Mrs. Nicholson has passed into God's presence, too, and we don't know how all those things work together. And you can look around and say, well, it's easy to philosophize like that, but it's not philosophy. It's God when we're ready to do His will, giving us the strength that's needed for every day, because He's an unfailing source, and He ministers to us as our needs come. And when we are dependent upon Him, we don't have to worry about His failure, and we don't have to worry about ours. That's a practical gift, the gift of strength to live day by day. I thank God for it. It doesn't make us super people. It doesn't make us that we can go out and look at people and say, well, if you were like I am, you wouldn't be tired. We get tired too. But we are not beaten by the hassles and disappointments in life. We are not overthrown by persecutions and other sorts of things. Even when our own plans don't seem to work well, we are not defeated by it because in God, we are given the strength that's needed for daily living. That's a great gift. The only way to get it is to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, and then to stand as a penitent person before God saying, Lord, I'm ready to follow Your word and do what You say. Probably a lot of you could give me lessons on that subject. I'm not saying that I know it all, but I'll tell you, it's a practical gift. It's a lot better than a box of handkerchiefs at Christmas. A lot better than almost anything you can think of beyond the knowledge of Christ Himself, that God would give us the strength for daily living. We praise His name. And before we close in prayer, our brother will come and lead us in a hymn.
Can you open your hymnal to hymn number 520? Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best. Lovingly it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Hymn number 520. Thank you.
Father, we confess that some of us are faint. Some of us have been beaten. Some of us have faced discouragements and testings that are pretty severe for us. We thank you that you're the God of strength who gives power to those that are weak. We pray, our God, that through faith in Jesus and yieldness to you, we might rejoice in your gift to us today. If any of our friends, Lord, have never trusted Jesus in a saving way, we pray that the Spirit would speak to their hearts that they might believe on him and be born in the family of God. And if any of us are walking with deliberate disobedience and rebellion against you, we pray, God, you'd give us your word to straighten us out and adjust us and make us love you. But we thank you that you are a God who loves us, who hears us, a God who never wearies and never faints. And we thank you today for the strength you give us to live day by day. And we pray you'd help us to appropriate that today and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.